Shut up and sit down.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome back once again to Vicious Retsinicals. I am your host, Mr. Main Event himself, the unlimited, never duplicated superstar, Tim Vicious. And we're going to go over Raw to see in Chicago, Illinois. But before we do, man, I have got some great news to go over first. And folks, it is Vicious Chats is debuting soon. Check on the YouTube page as well as the RSS feed if you're listening to this on a podcast form. Obviously, like I said before, we switched providers. We are no longer under the Podomatic family. We are now with our main distribution is through Spotify for the RSS feed. If you're having problems catching the newest episodes anywhere else, like Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, or anything, let me know. We'll work on it. Make sure I phrase this the right way. I'm not trying to make it sound like it's just a passion project because I'm doing it for fun. No. When I say this is a passion project, I mean I am doing this not because it's a fun hobby or it's cute, but because this is something I'm trying to do for you guys. So if you guys feel like anytime, I'm not living up to the standard you would like me to do, like me to be at, or you see a problem you want me to fix, you would like me to work on, leave a comment if you're on the YouTube page. Hit me up on Twitter at Tim Vicious. I am always open to any and all forms of constructive criticism. Emphasis on constructive. Because if you're just going to go out there and say, oh, your stuff sucks, well, it sucks according to you. Because if you're not going to give actual feedback, I can't work with you. But I got to say, this is great. Vicious Chats debuting soon. So before we do that, so now that we've talked about that, we are going to switch gears and talk about last week via the SmackDown Rewind and the big highlights from last week's SmackDown. It starts off with Rey Mysterio having a match with, having a match with Santos Escobar. This was a really good match. I absolutely loved it. Santos got the win. Dominic wound up making a run in, costing Rey the match. And man, I'm not even gonna lie, I could watch Rey and Dom go back and forth all day long. That's not a bad thing because it is father versus son story. Show of hands, who can relate to a father versus son type story? You know, and it really is. It's one of the oldest stories out there. And it works. And you know, especially with Dominic, man, because he does that, Dad, you're a POS kind of father. I can't stand you, blah, blah, blah. You're a terrible person. You're a terrible father. I hate you. You're a piece of trash, all this. You're a deadbeat kind of crap. And I absolutely fucking love it. Yeah. We had a semifinal for the Tag Team Eliminator on SmackDown. We had the OC, Gallows and Anderson, going against Waller and Theory. And man, I was really friggin' impressed because Gallows and Anderson showed up. Anderson was out there moving like you'd have thought it was like the 2015 or 20, like it was like 20, or not 2015, like the 2012, like working in 2012 New Japan all over again. Like, whoa, I forgot Carl Anderson could work like that. Who? And it was good. It was good. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Theory and Waller got the win, and given who wins the match later on that we're going to talk about, I can't say I was too surprised on that. We had Naomi going against Io. This was a good match. I thought it was kind of interesting because of the ending. It ended with a post-match fight with with Naomi being saved by Bianca Belair, and then the gears in the head started turning, and I just sat there and I was thinking, what if if Asuka's ankle is in good working condition and she can perform and she's medically cleared for WrestleMania, what if Naomi and Bianca versus Asuka and Kairi for the women's tag titles? In the immortal words of VKM, God damn, pal, that's such good shit. You know, it almost feels kind of wrong to make jokes about with VKM anymore. Just, yeah. So, the other semifinal for the tag team tournament was Street Profits against AOP. This was a good one. I liked it. Profits got the win, hence why I wasn't surprised, hence why it made sense for Waller and Theory to win. If you look at, and folks, little peek behind the curtain on how the old Tim Vicious brain works. If you look at, if you look at tournaments in pro wrestling, 9 out of 10 times, they typically end with heel versus babyface. So if you look at all the heels in one bracket and look at all the faces in the other, 9 out of 10 times you can kind of see who's going to go to the finals. So just little bits of observation. And the show ended with Roman and Cody having their face-to-face that I did bring up last week on the show. Roman came out. Cody then came out. Roman, so I'm by myself, minus the wise man, but he's harmless. He means no threat to you. And that, not as an insult to Paul Heyman, but that's just a straight-up fact. And then them two, it gave Roman and Cody a chance to hype up their title match. And it made sense because, it made sense because they hyped up all this time going from the time The Rock debuted to from when The Rock returned to when the challenge was made to the tag match, all hyping up. Rock's in the ring. Rock's in the ring. And, you know, it was almost to the point of night two main event. Cody versus Roman was an afterthought. Like, guys, we kind of got to hype up the world title match a little. But, yeah. Then they did. Them two went, they did their back and forth bit for a minute. I thought it was really good. I can't remember everything that they said. But at the end, Roman was just looking at Cody like, you are stupid. I mean, stupid. You think this is all... You come out here, you act like a champ. You do this. Hey, anyone want an autograph? Yeah, I'll give you one. Who wants a kid to go and make a pose with me, huh? Huh? Who wants a pose? We'll do that. And it's just all that. Uh-uh. You see, you're going out there making them chase after you. I don't have to do that. They chase after me on my own. And these are not all the exact words, so don't go biting my head off because I'm misquoting everything. But we'll get to the point on where I'm getting at. At the end, then Roman, he walked out, turned around, looked at Cody when he was outside the ring. And with a snap of his fingers, Solo comes out of one side of the fans. Jimmy Uso comes out the other side of out from the fans. Cody takes off the suit jacket, loosens the tie. okay, looks like we're going to be doing this. Squares up. And then next thing you know, he drops down, drops his hands down, and you see Jey Uso come out. Seth Rollins come out. And them all just standing side by side. And Cody just looking, hey, yeah, you thought I was going to play dumb, huh? You think I wouldn't have had a plan? Nah. I got this. He had that kind of look on his face. And then the show ended. So honestly, I think the build up to this year's WrestleMania has been phenomenal. Especially with next week being the go-home Mania. I am more excited for that than any other Mania, than any other Raw that we've had up to this point. And folks, I'm not going to lie. I know a lot of people are hyping up and building up, oh, this is going to be the greatest WrestleMania ever. I can't say for certain if it's going to be the greatest WrestleMania ever, but it's sure as hell going to be the greatest WrestleMania within my lifetime. That's what I got to say on that. So now with that said, let's get into this week's show. Raw in Chi-Town, Chicago in the Allstate Arena. It starts out with the American Nightmare, Cody Russell Reynolds himself, baby. Coming on down, looking all dapping as he does, baby. Cody comes on down looking as sharp as all hell. So, Chicago, what do you want to talk about? And then he goes, hypes up on how the altercation between him and Roman on SmackDown. And then saying, you guys want to, like, Roman, you want to bet against me? Really? You don't think I can do this? Listen, Roman, this city knows all too well. If you bet against me, I am going to win. And for those that may not get that reference, right there, all in, September 1st, 2018. Yeah. He's doing all that then. And as it looks like Cody's about to finish up, then next thing you know, if you smell, then The Rock's music hits out of nowhere, like, wait, what? The Rock's music hits, like, holy shit. Surprise. Rock shows up out of nowhere, doesn't say nothing. Wearing a $5,000 Gucci vest, probably wearing a $300 pair of sunglasses, looking as only The Rock can. Stare down between them both. You could feel the tension. You could see it. You could see the electricity shooting back and forth between them. Just, and then Rock, leaning over to Cody, whispers something softly to him, and then just backs away. Perfect! Now, Rock got asked backstage, what was it you whispered to him? You're going to want to talk to Cody about that. Cody's confronted. What did Rock whisper to you? Listen, in all fairness, I'm not in position to want to talk about that right now, okay? So, if you'll excuse me. So, we'll get to more on Cody later on. So, now we get to the first match of the night. Ricochet going against the human fucking Funko Pop himself, J.D. McDonagh, and this dude's been a bit of some hot water lately because they showed before the match Finn, Priest, and Rhea getting into J.D. as well as a little bit into Dom about, you know, Ricochet making them look like fools, and in turn, if they look like fools, then in turn, Judgment Day looks like fools. So, yeah. Now, as far as the match went, real good, quick, fast action to start, which is no surprise given Ricochet. He's leading the pace right up into the break, and post-commercial break, I gotta tell you, man, a lot of real interesting camera angles. You see one from an upper view going up high, one from ringside, and then the one that's cameraman down on the floor, you can actually see the camera turning and moving around, like, damn. And I know a lot of people give shit on Kevin Dunn, and I'm not gonna make an argument saying, well, whether this stuff, whether the comments on him are rightfully deserved or not. What I will say is, this new guy that they got, I can't remember his name. I know they brought him in from the sports world. But the new guy that they got in, the replaced Kevin Dunn, my God, he is doing all sorts of different kind of experiments, because I don't think at any point in time you would have ever thought of, Kevin would have ever thought of, all right, let's try a camera from an up high angle. Let's see on how it would look from up high. All right, now let's see on how it would look from here. Hey, Mike, do yourself a favor. Keep an eye on the match, but move around the ring post. We're going to keep the camera on you while you're doing it. I don't think we would have gotten that. And honestly, that's more so because of just experience and muscle memory, because, you know, working in that, you do one profession for so long, you do one thing for so long, you develop old habits, you develop rhythm, you develop develop your own sense of rhythm and flow with it. Just like what I do with this show. No different than what we do with the note-taking for this show. You know? That's where I mean by the difference between Dunn and this guy. I thought the angles were interesting. That's why I wanted to bring that up. JD wound up picking up the pace into the second commercial break. Post-commercial break is right around when the match started to come to an end. At one point, and listen, I try not to go off on high spots. I really don't. But, man, there was one point where Ricochet, literally in midair, maneuvers himself to go and do a Canadian Destroyer. And it's just a, whoa! Holy! What the fuck? Wow! Like, yeah, just wow. That's all I got to say on that. But either way, I thought it was good. Match came to an end when, as Ricochet, he was getting ready to try and go up. My guess for a 450. But either way, he was getting ready to go up. No, wasn't trying to go up. I'm sorry. I'm discombobulated. After he did that Canadian Destroyer spot, he went for a pin. 1-2. Dom wound up putting JD's foot on the rope. Ref was arguing with Dom. Ref threw Dominic out. And as he's doing that, JD's like, what? On his feet, turns around. Ricochet hits him with a shooting star press while JD McDonagh is standing. So while he's standing perfectly still, Ricochet spins himself and then boom. Slams him with a shooting star press to get the 1-2-3. Yeah. Dude is damn impressive. Next up we got, this match came, the bell rang for this match literally when they came back from commercial break. Neither person got intros. Ivy Nile with going against Candice LeRae. And this was, again, they're building up the Candice angle. So it was very short. It's a very short-paced match. Ivy, she was leading the whole thing right up until Candice wound up getting down and then started doing the Peter Griffin with her knee. Ivy's just the whole time she's like, "Yeah, I'm not falling for this crap. Move, ref." And as she's trying to move the ref out of the way, the ref's arguing with, "Whoa." She's saying she's hurt. I gotta look over, make sure she's okay. And then next thing you know, Candice, boom, takes Ivy down, goes for a cover, and wouldn't you know it, being such a damn dirty, nasty, villainous type heel, She puts her feet on the ropes to get that extra leverage for the 1, 2, 3. You could see the look of disappointment and frustration on Indy Hartwell's face, who was there watching, and the whole time, you just, the gears in my head turning, thinking, we're not going to get this at Mania, but it's going to pay off soon. We're going to get, Indy is finally going to have enough of this. And she's going to snap at Candace. And this is going to be like a mom popping off at her daughter of, Mom, I'm getting tired of you acting like this. I'm not going to hang her. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to be around this. So, next up we had a tag match. DIY, Gargano and Ciampa going against the New Day, Woods and Kofi with Miz and R-Truth on commentary. Excuse me. This nice, quick, fast-paced action to start. Johnny was the punching bag for a good bit. He wound up becoming the punching bag right up until the finish. It became a schmoz finish when Judgment Day came out and all the members of Judgment Day, minus Rhea, came out and started to beat the living hell out of everyone because Priest and Balor wanted to soften them up walking into the ladder match. And then at the whole time, Miz and R-Truth, they're on commentary like, We're just commentators until Miz is like, you know, I've had enough of this crap. And then he climbs in, he starts swinging, he starts getting the crap kicked out of him. And then R-Truth winds up doing, yo, dog, I'm just a commentator tonight. Get the commercial, cut the commercial. I'm on commentating, dog. Yo, you can't do nothing to me on this, man. I'm just a commentator. And then they start going at him. Truth starts fighting back. Unfortunately, it does not go well. He starts getting put on the ass end of an ass kicking. And yeah. Next up, we have Andrade going against Giovanni Vinci. And this came, it was originally supposed to be Andrade against Ivar. Unfortunately, Ivar could not be medically cleared to compete tonight. So, yeah, hence the substitution. And honestly, I can't really argue because Gio, he's a hell of an athlete. He's just as good of an athlete as Ivar. They both obviously work two different styles, so I'm not trying to compare that. I'm just saying both are solid workers. So I can't say I'm disappointed. Andrade, he was leading at the start. Gio, he wound up leading into the break. Post-commercial break, it was decent match, nice pace and flow. Match came to an end when Andrade wound up hitting a reverse elbow and then doing his finisher. They called it the statement, I believe they said it was. But it was the hammerlock. Instead of doing the hammerlock DDT, hammerlock like spinning neck breaker. So it's just like, ooh. Damn, that's mean. And honestly, here's my thing. And I just a random thought that popped into my head as I'm watching the match. Andrade is a third generation wrestler. Now his wife, much to know if you don't know, is Charlotte Flair. And Charlotte, not only being a second generation, her father being Rick, who. You know, you could argue is one of the greatest of all time. Charlotte is a natural in and of herself. Man, oh man, when them two finally want to go and settle down and have a family, their kid is going to be one of, if not the greatest wrestlers on the planet because of that family's lineage. Just because of the lineage that that kid's family, from both sides of the family. That's what I'm thinking. Like, good God. You know Hunter is just thinking, I can make something I will make something out of that kid when they have one. Just watch. Next up, we got Bronson Reed going against Sami Zayn. And this is more so because, excuse me, You saw Sammy talking to Chad Gable before the match, saying, listen, Chad, no hard feelings about before, right? You know, thinking I couldn't do it. I mean, Gunther doesn't even think I can do it. Listen, Sammy, this somehow Gunther works. He's just trying to get into your head. He's trying to mess with you. He's trying to throw you off. You're not even thinking about your match with Reed. You're thinking about Gunther. You need to focus, man. So, yeah. Now we get to the match. It was nice pace at the start. Reed, he was in the lead right up into the break. Sammy, he was fighting back. He was punching up post-commercial break. Sami Zayn, like before, being the underdog from the underground, fighting from the floor up. Oh, good God almighty, I love seeing Sami Zayn work. El Generico's star pupil. Gunther at one point comes down, just stands at the entryway. Doesn't come down ringside, but just stands there at the entryway holding the Intercontinental Championship over his shoulder. Watching like, go ahead. You're doing good. Perform. Doing quite well there. I like that. And Sammy, he gets caught off guard because of all of it. And then at one point, he's distracted by Gunther, telling him, you need to watch this because come WrestleMania, I'm going to do this to you and I'm going to take your title off you. Next, you know, he turns around, he goes for the Huluva kick, Reed, boom, knocks him down, gets up, hits him with the tsunami. 1, 2, 3, you see backstage Chad Gable talking to Sammy about it, like, see, this is what I meant, man. He got in your head. He got in your head and you wound up losing sight. You're right. You're right, Chad. I did. It happened. I don't know on how to work around it. And then Gable just said, no, come with me. I'll help you. So, yeah, now we come to main event match of the night. Jey Uso going against Shinsuke Nakamura. And man, oh man, this was a good match. I thought it was a good match. Nice, good start with Shin leading into the break. Post-commercial break, it was good, especially out of nowhere. Jimmy and Solo, they come out of nowhere and they're just creeping around looking like, don't mind us, we're just gonna, this is a nice match. Be a shame if somebody were to interfere. They had that kind of look on their face, but it was held off because of Cody and Seth Rollins. Now, Cody, he starts fighting Solo. We'll put a pin on that because we'll get to that in a minute. Seth winds up taking out Jimmy. And then as he's done, next, you know, Drew McIntyre comes out and Drew beats up Seth, hits him with a future shock. And then all while that's going on, Jey Uso, he's in there fighting Nakamura. He pops Nakamura with a super kick, hits him with the spear. 1, 2, 3. So your winner, main event, Jey Uso. However, let's go back to Cody and Solo. You see them two fighting backstage. And then out of nowhere, boom, Rock comes up. He starts beating the holy hell out of Cody, beating him up, smashing trash cans, emptying out a toolbox over him, smashing him into walls and guardrails and trash cans and throwing him outside, throwing him up against production trucks and travel buses, and to the point, Cody gets busted open. And I'm not talking like a small little like bloody lip or a little cut above the eyebrow. No, I'm talking like the kind of cuts he got when he was in AEW. He got that kind of bleeding. And the whole time while he's doing that, when that happens, Rock just goes over. Well, look at this, you see? Prophecy fulfilled. I told you your blood would be on my hands. And now look. And what else did I tell you? Your blood is going to get on this belt, and pulls out a weightlifting belt that says Mama Rhodes. And then grabs some of the blood off of Cody, smears it on the belt. Mama Rhodes, Mama Rhodes, this is for you. And then looks at Cody, and man, listen, I've been getting annoyed recently with the way that the fans keep running their mouths, doing like, holy shit, you fucked up, that kind of stuff, because in the middle of a promo, you'll get that awkward silence just like that in the middle of a promo, and then you don't hear what the guy is saying. But if the wrestler is being censored, I'm all cool with it because, you know on how to read lips, you're good. But I will say this. Tone down the fans if they're starting to get a little too loud and a little too rowdy. You know, but Rock grabbing Cody's face. And this is what happens when you fuck around. Basically saying that. Like, whoa. And then just slamming them down. Like just a piece of trash, a piece of garbage beneath, like an amp beneath his boot. And just like, did Rock just say fuck on WWE TV, live WWE TV? This is truly a whole new era of TV and creative with Triple H in charge. Because, man, rewind the clock 5 years ago, in 2019, you would have never, never had blood on TV. You would have never had somebody going and throwing out F-bombs. You would have never had words like hate or like that thrown out on there. This is really where it's lifelike, and my God, I am all for it. So, folks, like I said before, like I've said at the beginning of the show, if you're watching this on YouTube, thank you. If you're listening to this in podcast form, thank you. If the newest episodes on the RSS feed aren't available, check. Let me know on any other platform outside of Spotify. Let me know and I'll work on it. You know, if you're watching this on YouTube, like the video, subscribe to the channel, go back, watch some of the other episodes. The Vicious Chats will be available soon. It'll be a separate playlist on there. It'll be a separate playlist on the YouTube page, as well as with there being this show, Vicious Rants, as well as the other side project I work on, the most fun you can have before SmackDown every Friday night, 7 p.m. EST, the only singing hashtag game on the Twitter or X, whatever you're calling it. The Vicious Karaoke Party, check it out. Hope you all enjoy that. And with that said, folks, that is it for this week's show. So please do not forget to, like I said, like the video, subscribe to the channel, go back, watch some of the other episodes. Look for me on the Twitter at Tim Vicious. Thank you to contributor to the show, LFC Laundry, Fighting Championship. There are a little bit of wrestling, both MMA, and a whole lot of attractive women wearing a little bit of nothing. Thank you. Also, thank you to WhatAManeuver.net for some. Check out WhatAManeuver.net for some Vicious Rants apparel. They're a little bit of, they got all sorts of apparel that you'd like. T-shirts, tanks, long sleeves, toddler shirts, and baby onesies. Don't forget to check out these cool ass cats on the Twitter, VSB_IV, main event_net, the Main Event Wrestling Network account, Sergeant Curry Pants, 3 Count Thursday, and D Dryer 1986. And well, folks, like I always tell y'all, you love me great, you hate me. Fuck yourself.